الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، فقال تعالى: فمن يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب ومن يتوكل على الله فهو حسبه. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Talaq, in the second and third ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who has taqwa on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will extract him from his difficulties and will provide him from sources that he could not imagine. And the one who has tawakkul on Allah, who has reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become sufficient for him. I remind myself and you that there is no one in this world who can give or take anything from us except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La nafi wa la dharra illa Allah. No one can provide anything beneficial or nobody can harm except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always for his protection from that evil which we know and that which we do not know, that which we can see and that which we cannot see, that which we anticipate and that which we cannot anticipate, because we do not have the knowledge to anticipate that. We ask Allah for his protection from that. A man came to Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi and said, I do not have any children, what dua should I make? Hasan al-Basri said, go make tawbah. Another man came after some time, and he said, there is a drought in our lands and people are suffering, there is no rain, what shall we do? Hasan Basri rahmatullah said, go and make tawbah. After some time, another man came and he said, I am very poor and destitute and I have no money and I am in need, what must I do? Hasan Basri rahmatullah said, go and make tawbah. So his students who were with him, they asked him, they said, Ya Shaykh, three people came to you with three completely different things. One man said he has no children, another man says he has no money, third man says there is drought. But you gave them the same solution for these three different things. How is that possible? Hasan al-Basri rahmatullah said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. In Surah An-Nuh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned what Nuh alayhi salam said. Nuh alayhi salam said to his people, go make istighfar, go make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, go apologize and repent for your sins. إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who forgives. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives, what does he do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends you rain, so your drought is resolved. وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. And Allah will give you aid and He will help you with wealth and He will help you with children. So He said, here is the solution for all the three things. One solution, which is make istighfar and tawbah. I remind myself and you, and I have been doing that since last night, and we should continue to do it. We are sitting in Yala now, in Galge, and the whole night it rained, very heavy rain, very heavy rain. We are in this bungalow with galvanized iron roofing, so it's also very loud, the rain. So the whole night it rained continuously, and even now there is cloud and it is raining. Colombo is shut down, Colombo flights have been diverted, 75% of Colombo has no electricity, schools and colleges, everything is closed, markets are closed. So we are going through a heavy, very heavy storm in Sri Lanka. And I'm therefore asking myself, what must I do? And I remember this, and say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, make istighfar and tawbah. Because all difficulties and calamities, the solution is to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why I began with the ayat of Surah Talaq, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the same thing. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. You have difficulties, you want to come out of the difficulties, make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Become muttaqeen, because the one who has taqwa, Allah will remove him from his difficulties, will extract him from his difficulties. What is the sign of taqwa? Taqwa is the desire never to displease the one you love the most, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is the sign of taqwa? Is to make frequent tawbah and istighfar. Istighfar is to apologize to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, repent for our sins, and tawbah is to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning bringing about a life change. There is no istighfar without tawbah, and there is no tawbah without istighfar. We cannot say, I will change my life, but whatever I did, I will not repent. No, you have to repent. And unless you repent, you cannot change your life, because everything begins with that decision to say, what I have done is wrong, I should not do this. This is very important. Tawbah istighfar has got many values. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh used to say that tawbah wal istighfar, he said, the one who does tawbah and istighfar frequently, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept all his du'as. Whatever he asks, Allah will give him. And Rasulullah himself, we know from the hadith that he told people, he said, make istighfar frequently to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, I make istighfar 70 times a day. And the sahaba said, they counted up to 100 times a day. And this is the Prophet ﷺ himself, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave all his sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, forgive everything, whatever you do before and after. So for him also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed, and Rasulullah ﷺ used to make tawbah and istighfar on a daily basis. So what must we do? Make a lot of istighfar, make a lot of tawbah. And sincere tawbah and istighfar is not simply a matter of saying astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. No. Thinking about what is it that we are doing which is disobedience of Allah, which is not following the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah ﷺ, and to change those things and to change our lives. Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi, wonderful story, which I have mentioned before also, but I think all of these things, reminders are good. One day he was traveling somewhere, he was going somewhere, and alhamdulillah, the way of the ulama al-haq, the ulama of truth, the salafus salihin, their way was, they were people who were humble, and they were people who shunned public acclaim and, you know, celebrity status. They did not seek that. They avoided it, they ran away from this. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, he was the Imam of Masjid al-Nabawi al-Sharif. He was the greatest Imam of fiqh of his time. Huge following, you know, very, very, one of the biggest ulama of all time, and of his time, the biggest one of the time. Wallahu alam. Now he was traveling, so but the way he was traveling alone, by himself, carrying his saman, whatever little baggage he had, carrying that on his own, go traveling. He reached a village in the night, it got dark. There was a masjid there, so he prayed in the masjid. And after praying Salatul Isha, he asked the caretaker, he said, can I sleep here? Those days, you know, there were hotels to check in, and he didn't have anybody there. So this man, this caretaker, he saw this old man with one bag or whatever it was, and he said, no, you can't sleep in the masjid. So Mama said, look, I am a traveler, I am a stranger to this place, I don't have anybody here, I have no friend, no one. All I am asking is to sleep in the masjid, because this is the house of Allah, and I need some rest. So just to sleep here in one corner, I will not, you know, do anything to your masjid. The man said, no. The imam. He said, no, you cannot sleep in the masjid. He said, go, leave. So Allah Ajib. So Muhammad rahmatullah said, okay, so I won't sleep in the masjid. Can I sleep outside the masjid? In the, you know, the masjid has a little bit of a ground around it. He said, can I sleep? That's his property. So he said, can I sleep outside the masjid? He said, no. I said, what a strange man. I mean, this is horrible. You know, how do you treat somebody like this? You can't sleep inside the masjid. You can't even sleep outside the masjid. He said, can I sleep outside the masjid on the bare ground, on the earth? He said, no. And it got to a point where this man actually picked up Imam Ahmad's bag, and he caught him by the hand. He took him outside the gate, and he threw his bag on the road, and he pushed Imam Ahmad and shut the gate. So now Imam Ahmad has been thrown out of the masjid onto the road. Now, at that time, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah, he saw there was a bakery on the other side of the road. Opposite the masjid, there was a bakery. And there was a baker who was making bread. And this is now late in the night. This baker is seeing all of this happening. So, this baker immediately came out of the bakery. He picked up Imam Ahmad's bag. He called, took him by the hand. He said, please come here. He took him inside his bakery. He said, you please stay here. I make your bed. You sleep here. No problem, inshallah. I am very sorry to see the way you have been treated. You please come here and you stay here. So, alhamdulillah, Imam Ahmad said, this is a good Muslim man, mashallah. So, he said, I made my bed and I was sitting there. And he said, I noticed that this baker, now he is doing his work, right? He is making bread. He says, I noticed that this man, while making bread, he continuously makes istighfar. Right? He is continuously making istighfar. So, he said, after some time, Imam Ahmad said, I became very curious. So, he said, I asked the man, you know, I noticed that you continuously make istighfar. The man said, yes, this is my habit. Day and night, I continuously make istighfar. If I have to say something to somebody, I speak. After that, I only make istighfar. So Imam Ahmad said that I said to him, then definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts all your dua. This has to happen because if this is your habit, then Allah accepts all your duas. So tell me, what has Allah shown you? Tell me about your life. What has Allah... Allah would have shown you some of His karamat. What has Allah shown? The man said, you are absolutely right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts all my duas. Until today, Allah has accepted every one of my duas except one. Except one. Now this is even more strange. So Imam said, this is a strange thing. You say Allah accepts all your duas and Allah has accepted all your duas except one. What dua is that? What dua is it that Allah has not accepted till today? The man said, I asked Allah and I have been asking Allah for many years that I want to meet Ahmad bin Hanbal. I want to meet Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. He said, Allah has not given me this dua. Imam Ahmad said, I started weeping. He said, I started crying. He said, Allah threw me out of His house for you. He said, Allah threw me out of His house for you. I am Ahmad bin Hanbal. He said, Allah sent me to you. You wanted to meet me? Allah did not send you to me. Allah sent me to you and Allah threw me out of His house to you. This is the power of istighfar and tawbah. And that is why we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us always to be in touch with Him. Sometimes people ask me, because I keep talking about taluq ma Allah and I talk about taluq with Allah not because I have it, but because that is my greatest need. So therefore, when I talk about ta'alluq with Allah, sometimes people say, how do you know if you have ta'alluq with Allah or not? Supposing I want to say, do I have ta'alluq with Allah? What is the sign of that? And I remember one of the things which I heard from one of my teachers. And he used to say, the best way to see whether you have ta'alluq with Allah or not is to see what is your first thought when you have any difficulty. What is the first thought? He said, for example, if you have a headache, what is the first thought? Dua or Tylenol? Dua or Crocin? Dua or Paracetamol? Whatever medicine you take. Now, it's not haram to take medicine. Yeah? It is halal, alhamdulillah. We can take, we should take if we need. But he used to say, what is the first thought? Do you first make dua? Do you make first ruju ila Allah? Or do you say, where is the medicine? What must I do? That shows whether you have connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. And this extends to everything in life. What is the first thought? Is it towards the asbab? Or is it towards the musabbibul asbab? The one who creates the asbab, the creator of the asbab. Where is the ta'alluq? Asbab is halal. To use asbab is halal. Rasulullah used asbab. means to do something. Asbab is the plural of sabab, which means means. Nothing wrong with that. But there is a difference between connection with Allah and connection with Masiv Allah. And that is what istighfar gives you. Istighfar gives you that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because continuously making istighfar, we are thinking only of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are making istighfar because we want to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do we repent our sins? Because, ya Allah, I know I did wrong. I apologize. I am sorry. Please forgive me. And I will not do this again. So I change my life. Whatever that thing was in my life which was creating this problem, I am going to remove it from my life. I don't want that anymore. That is rubbish. That is garbage. It's causing me problems. Remove all that. I connect myself with you, Jalla Jalalu. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to constantly have the thought of our meeting with Him and to ask Him for that meeting to be the best of our lives. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins. We say, O Allah, we turn to you with istighfar, we turn to you with tawbah, we turn to you with regret. We are genuinely sorry for all that we have done, which is wrong, which is something which was against your will, and we make this niyyah, insha'Allah, with ikhlas, not to do any of those things again. We ask and seek your forgiveness for breaking the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ in whichever way that we do it, and we make this intention that insha'Allah, from today onward, we will not do that. We will follow the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to fulfill all His commands and to live our lives according to the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب العالمين.